Good morning. Welcome to Berkeley Crossroads Baptist Church. My name is Richard. I am Pastor Richard Schwartz, and it is great to have you here today. And I was asked to preach a sermonette, so that meant something shorter. So I chose one of the longest passages in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, of course, because this is one of the premier Christmas passages. And I'm going to tell you a few things, three things, from this passage that we can learn about Jesus, our Savior. The first thing I'm going to tell you is that he is and was the heir to the throne of David. Luke 2, verses 1 through 5 says, and I'm going to pray first. Dear Lord, Father, thank you so much for gathering us here to worship your Son with all the beautiful music, Father, that we can sing and adore him and love him and cherish him as our ultimate treasure, Father. Let me now speak the words of life from your word, Father, that point us to Jesus Christ and what he has done and who he is and how we should love and worship him with everything that we have. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he is the heir to the throne. Luke 2, verses 1 through 5 tells us, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Number one, the child Jesus was brought to Bethlehem to be born because both his human parents were of the house and lineage of King David. Thus, Jesus was the heir to the throne of King David, the true and final king of Israel, and as God incarnate, king of the universe. Number one, the child Jesus was brought to Bethlehem to be born because both his human parents were of the house and lineage of King David. Thus, Jesus was the heir to the throne of King David, the true and final king of Israel, and as God incarnate, king of the universe. So this was not just a king being born into the world. Jesus is indeed a king, and both his parents, Joseph and Mary, were descended from the line of David, King David, who was known as the greatest king of Israel. And God had promised King David that he would have a descendant, the son of David, who would be the Messiah, who would come and fulfill all the prophecies of the coming Christ. And not only was Jesus this king, he was also God himself in flesh, king of the universe. Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, Mary. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Number two, yet no grand palace greeted Jesus as he was born. He would be as meek and humbled at his birth as he would throughout his life, even though he is the most extraordinary person who ever lived. God himself in the flesh, few would recognize his greatness during his first coming. During his life. Number two, yet no grand palace greeted Jesus as he was born. He would be as meek and humbled at his birth as he would throughout his life, even though he is the most extraordinary person who ever lived, God himself in the flesh. Few would recognize his greatness during his first coming. He is the most extraordinary person, the most extraordinary human being who ever lived. Yet he is also God himself in the flesh, the Son of the Father. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is God. And yet, he lived a humble life. He never once was exalted in his life. In fact, he went to die on a cross. And he would die there, lonely and alone, taking the wrath of the Father upon himself so that those who would believe in him would be saved. And so he was the heir to the throne. But Jesus was more than just the heir to David's throne. He was also, secondly, the fulfillment of the law. Number three, Jesus Christ came not just as the King of the universe, but also as the law's fulfillment. Not only did he never once sin in the negative sense, but he also obeyed and fulfilled every single obligation of the law as our human representative. Number three, Jesus Christ came not just as the King of the universe, but also as the law's fulfillment. Not only did he never once sin in the negative sense, but he also obeyed and fulfilled every single obligation of the law as our human representative. We see this in Luke 2 in many places. Luke 2:21 says, "And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, and the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." So he was circumcised. And I'll just explain briefly that circumcision was a sign given to Abraham and his descendants, the nation of Israel, that they would cut off a little bit of the foreskin of the male sexual organ, and that would be a sign that they were part of Israel, that they were part of the chosen nation of God. So all the males in the chosen nation of Israel would be circumcised on the 8th day and be given their name. So this was part of the law of God that God required of every Israelite. And Jesus himself could not have fulfilled every aspect of the law if he was not circumcised on the 8th day, which explains to us why he must come as a baby. It is essential that he was circumcised on the 8th day in order to fulfill every aspect of the law. Luke 2:22-24, he also fulfills the law in this. "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord," it says, "every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." So they had to go for this purification in the temple. And also in verse 24, it says, "and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Here we see in these verses, we see the law being fulfilled by Jesus yet again, as Joseph and Mary presented him in the temple and offered the proper sacrifice for their firstborn son. Of course, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons was the sacrifice for a poor family. There were greater sacrifices that a rich family was to offer, but that since his family was poor, they offered this meager sacrifice of 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Luke 2 verses 39 says, And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. Finally, here in verse 39, it is stated that they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord. They returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. So this is how the Jews, when they read the Gospel of Luke, would have known that Jesus was in fact the coming king, that he was the heir of the throne, and that he was fulfilling the very law that needed to be fulfilled so that we could be saved. We needed a savior who is perfectly righteous. And in order to be perfectly righteous, Jesus had to fulfill all the things of the law. This is shown in Romans chapter 10, verse 4. I had to go get Romans into this sermon too. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Or it could be translated in this way, number 4. For the end purpose of the law is Christ for righteousness to everyone who believes in him. Number 4. For the end purpose of the law is Christ for righteousness to everyone who believes in him. So if you translate it that way, and that is a valid way of translating it, we see that the purpose or the fulfillment of the law, the reason that the law existed, so is that we could have Christ, Jesus Christ, for our righteousness to all who would believe in him. That's what Romans 10:4 is saying. So there's the purpose of the law is not so that we could obey it, because we can't perfectly obey it because we are sinners. And we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we desperately need a Savior because of our sin. We deserve wrath. We deserve God's punishment in hell for all eternity. And without a Savior, we would face that hell for all eternity. But the law, the purpose of it, is to point us to our need for Christ, for Jesus Christ, for his righteousness that we can only have through belief or faith or trust in him. So for the end purpose of the law is Christ for righteousness to everyone who believes in him. And finally, the good news of great joy. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11 says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that there will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Number 5. The good news of the gospel of great joy that the angel brought at Jesus' birth is that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord God himself in human flesh. Number 5, the good news of the gospel of great joy that the angel brought at Jesus' birth is that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord God himself in human flesh. So he says, in the city of David, meaning the king, he's born in the city of David because he is the heir to the throne, a Savior because he has fulfilled the law, he has obeyed and fulfilled the law in every aspect, and he will fulfill the law so that he might save you from your sin when you receive his righteousness as your own by trusting in him. He is also the Christ, meaning he is the Messiah, the promised Savior that would come to the Jews and save Israel from their sin. And he's also the Lord, meaning he is God himself, incarnate in human flesh. Our passage also gives us one more look at Christ. Simeon declared the Father's purpose in sending Jesus, his son, to take on flesh when Jesus was presented in the temple. Luke 2, verses 29 through 32. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Number 6. Jesus, who is truly God, took on human flesh so that he could accomplish the salvation, not just of his people Israel, but also to reveal his salvation to the whole world, to the glory of his people. Number 6. Jesus, who is truly God, took on human flesh so that he could accomplish the salvation, not just of his people Israel, but also to reveal his salvation to the whole world, to the glory of his people. So he came to be the Savior of Israel, that if they would just trust in him as their Messiah, then they would have salvation from their sins. But he also came not just to save Israel, but also as a light for revelation to the Gentiles, meaning to all of those who were not part of Israel. He was a light to show the revelation of his own glory and offer them the salvation that the Jews had in him so that they all might be saved while repenting of their sin and trusting in him. And all this so that he might show the glory of him, of his grace to his people Israel. In our coming weeks, we will be entering Romans 9, 10, and 11 in the new year. And the question is asked in these chapters, if Jesus came to save his people Israel, why are there so many Israelites? Why so many Jews who are not saved? If God promised salvation to them in Christ the Messiah, why not? Why so few who come to Christ? And it's a sad, sad reality that Christ came and his own people did not receive him, is what the scripture says. But it is glory to those who will receive him. It is wonderful salvation, wonderful relationship with Jesus. He offers us himself as our king, as the fulfillment of the law, as the good news of great joy. Jesus Christ has come on Christmas so that we might know him, came as a baby so that he might live his entire life to give us his righteousness, went to the cross to take the punishment that we deserve. The punishment for our sin, he took that hell upon himself on the cross so that if we believe in him, we might not have to face that punishment. We might have his righteousness, and he rose again on the third day so that we might have new spiritual life through him. And he sent the Spirit to live in our hearts so that we might never be separated from the love of God, as we looked at last week. Application. Number 1, repent of your sins and trust in Christ as he has done everything necessary for our salvation. Application number 1, repent of your sins and trust in Christ as he has done everything necessary for our salvation. If you have never repented of your sins before, if you remain in your sin, then repent of your sins and continue to repent throughout your life and trust in Christ and what he has done. Continue to trust in Jesus Christ because he has done everything necessary for our salvation. Even as a little baby, his work was pure. Application number two, worship Jesus. Worship him. Bow down on your knees. Worship Jesus because he is God, because he is King, because he is the good news of Christmas. Number two, worship Jesus because he is God, because he is King, because he is the good news of Christmas. And he's not just the good news of Christmas, he's the good news every day. Every single day of our lives, we should worship Jesus Christ because he deserves it as God, as King, and as the Savior of Christmas. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, there's so much more that can be said from these verses and from the rest of your word, and that you have shown us the revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would worship him every day, Father, because if we have truly been offered his salvation, if we've truly repented and put our trust in him, then we would love and cherish him every day and worship him as the Savior, as the King, as the Lord, as our Lord, Father, as everything he is for us, Father. I pray that your Son would be exalted every Christmas and every day in our hearts. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.